A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 477. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about the Omega Factor on Big Finish Audios. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, regular listeners will know that roughly once a year we take a diversion to follow one of the TV shows we've already covered and follow them into another medium. And this time, we are going back to the incredibly popular audio dramas produced by Big Finish. And in particular, we're looking at their plays, their audio plays, based on the 1979 BBC show, The Omega Factor.
That's right. Big Finish produced 3 box sets, series 1 to 3 of The Omega Factor, where each series had 4 one-hour episodes, plus an extra disc full of interviews, and those came out between 2015 and 2018, and they followed it up later in 2023 with a single story called The House That Wasn't Haunted, which is what they called an audio movie. And we are in a world of paranormal investigations following the work of Department 7 as it continues on from the TV series.
We are indeed. And to give you some of the basics, Department 7 in The Omega Factor is a government-run organization based rather nicely in Edinburgh in Scotland. And the remit of Department 7 is to investigate paranormal phenomena. But I'm going to say that it's a department that's always in a state of tension with its government overseers, particularly as it seems now in these Big Finish audios, the government's pretty keen to begin with on shutting Department 7 down.
Yes, that's right. We have this character, Doyle, who is the boss. He's the official that Department 7 is reporting to, and he wants to wind down that organization and does not see that it needs to be there. But of course, one of our lead characters, Dr. Anne Reynolds, believes that their work is now more important than ever, and she gets some unexpected help from someone with a connection to an earlier character from The Omega Factor.
Indeed. And to tell you about these characters, let's get into the characters from these audio dramas. Dr. Anne Reynolds, as you said, Brian, she is one of the original members of Department 7, a parapsychologist, a scientist who's interested in bringing those scientific methods to investigating these alleged paranormal occurrences. And rather delightfully, Dr. Reynolds is played by none other than Louise Jameson, who created the role in the TV series. And here she is playing an older version of Dr. Reynolds, which is a great delight for us, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. Adam Dean is played by John Dorney. He is a care worker at a nursing home, and he is troubled with insomnia and nightmares and so on. And he is the son of Tom Crane, who was the James Hazeldean character in the original TV series. And as the audio series starts, and it's many years after the original run, Tom Crane has just passed away, and Adam becomes interested in what his father was involved in and finds this new connection to Dr. Anne Reynolds and the Department 7 team, and he will take his place on the Department 7 team, and he has inherited some of the psychic gifts that his father had.
And a rather interesting dynamic between the two of them, with Dr. Reynolds, the scientist who has a sort of belief in paranormal activities, and Adam Dean, who may have, as you say, Brian, his father's psychic gifts, but doesn't really sort of believe it and certainly finds them unpleasant to experience. So it's an interesting push-me-pull-you dynamic between the two.
Yes, and that's a dynamic that it inherited from the original show. But part of the interesting thing is we're now getting that dynamic with the two of them being a generation apart, where you had the young Dr. Anne Reynolds, who was about the same age as Tom Crane. Now you have an older Dr. Anne Reynolds, who is a generation above Adam Dean.
Interesting stuff. Now, we've mentioned the man from the government, the man from the ministry, James Doyle. Not clear at first if he wants to shut down Department 7 because of cost cutting. Does the government have other reasons for wanting the work of Department 7 to end? He is a very interesting character. He will develop over the three box sets. He is, I suppose, a little bit of a successor to a character called Scott Erskine in the original TV series, played by the actor Brown Darby, who, again, was the sort of government cryptic knowledge who would pop up from time to time to give them various bits of information. And James Doyle here, played by Alan Cox, who, as you pointed out to me, Brian, he's done quite a bit of work for Big Finish. He is the actor Brian Cox's son. And I didn't know this. I didn't realise this, Brian, but you told me he was the young John Watson in Young Sherlock Holmes from the 1980s.
That's right. And he's a very good actor, Ryan. He's done a lot with Big Finish. But yeah, interesting connection there. And he has been in the Big Finish Sherlock Holmes releases as well.
Fascinating.
Dr. Jane Wyatt, played by Camilla Power, is another scientific researcher who is interested in electrosensitivity. And Dr. Wyatt is someone who returns in a couple of the Big Finish Omega Factor stories.
She does. Yes, a strange character who turns up at least a couple of times. And then, of course, we have another strange woman, Morag, a woman with some strange psychic powers, a character who appeared in the TV series, but we don't think she spoke in the TV series. She was just a rather haunting, ominous presence. Whereas here, strange enough, the character spends most of her time in a coma, but communicates with Adam telepathically, it seems. And Morag is played by none other than Natasha Gerson, who again played the part on TV and is the daughter of the original series creator Jack Gerson. So wonderful links back to the original TV show.
Yes, absolutely. And they did a nice job of transitioning that character to someone who would speak, which is sort of necessary for an audio drama. Edmund Fennec is the leader of a strange isolationist cult, and he is possibly the successor to Edward Drexel, who was the villain played by Cyril Luckham in the original series, although there are a number of characters who connect back to Drexel in various ways. Fennec is played by Terry Molloy, who plays a lot of characters for Big Finish, of course played Davros in Doctor Who in the 1980s, and then on Big Finish as well. He is playing this quite unsettling character in the Omega Factor for Big Finish.
Lovely to hear Terry Molloy in there, as always. And one more character to mention in our large cast, Edward Milton, played by Gunnar Cawthery, an ambitious politician who is going to become the new Member of Parliament for this area, for Edinburgh. It seems like he may have been placed there or manoeuvred into position by other powers or people. Does he know more than he's letting on? At first, he seems to be a pawn being placed in position. But as the box sets continue, we'll learn more about the MP Edward Milton.
Yes, absolutely. There are some ongoing plot lines and things with some of these characters throughout the run, which is really quite good. So looking into a little bit more of what Department 7 does, in series one of the audios, we see them dealing with strange visions and electronic voice phenomena. They visit a remote site that has a scientific experiment and the mysterious cult involved. And they also investigate the disappearance of homeless people that seems to be related to something happening at a church. And it's, I think, a pretty sympathetic portrayal of homeless people in that one as well. So some interesting things going on there.
Indeed. Later on, Adam will have to go undercover in a dangerous prison and a sort of undercover investigation to learn the truth about, well, let's say Changelings, which is, I think, the title of that episode. And although we don't get this straight away, as the series develops on Big Finish, we will start to get more hints and suggestions about the dark and mysterious conspiracy known as Omega from the title, and find out, I suppose not too unexpectedly, that it might not just be an old danger, it might be a present danger as well for Anne Reynolds, Adam Dean, and indeed the rest of the world.
Yes, absolutely. And they made the decision when they were producing this series that they would introduce us to Department 7 and the characters in this world in series 1, but they would wait on reintroducing Omega until series 2, which they did and I think was quite effective.
And talking of production, we will get to our production notes. And of course, we begin way back in 1979, the summer of 1979 on the BBC, when the 10-part series, The Omega Factor, broadcast. Something that we have, of course, covered in the past, Brian.
Yes, we discussed the Omega Factor in British Invaders 23 and 24 back in 2008, which obviously is not in the active podcast feed at this point, but you can certainly download it from our website or play it on our website.
That's going back a while.
It is, yes. The series was created by the writer Jack Gerson, and it featured James Hazeldine's character, Tom Crane, being recruited by Department 7 as he investigated this man called Edward Drexel. Tom Crane was a journalist, so he was investigating things in that capacity, and he starts to find this Omega organization, and we also see the death of Tom Crane's wife under possibly suspicious circumstances, and this becomes something that Crane sort of gets wrapped up in that series. And Louise Jameson played the scientist Dr. Anne Reynolds, who had a more open mind to these paranormal ideas, but was also a physicist. And this was only a couple of years after Louise Jameson had been the companion Leela on Doctor Who.
Indeed, yes. Turning up in two sort of key series from the 70s. And the Omega Factor, as I remember it, had sort of standalone episodes where they would investigate a different case each week. But there was also this sort of ongoing thread, particularly about this mysterious and threatening group known as Omega, and of course about Tom Crane's search to find out the truth about what had happened to his wife. Sort of a paranormal investigation of the week with an ongoing conspiracy thread, which of course has become a reasonably popular sort of standard for television programs over the years, Brian, but the Omega Factor, possibly one of the first.
Yeah, it was an unusual format at the time, although it doesn't seem so now.
And probably it's gone on to be recognized as a cult classic, although it sadly didn't really find its audience at the time. Now, there's a variety of reasons why that may have been, one of which is that it was on a summer slot in the BBC when there were no catch-up options for repeat viewing. for television. It was either you caught it on original broadcast or you didn't, and that was it. So I don't think it found a huge audience, but of course there were other problems that led to it perhaps not coming back for a second series.
Yeah, you would have thought it would be perfect for the fall and Halloween and such, but there was another issue, which was the complaints and criticisms coming from Mary Whitehouse and her National Viewers and Listeners Association, who were always criticizing television programs for being too scary or for being too incompatible with Mary Whitehouse's Christian beliefs. And in this case, she had a lot of complaints. She was particularly incensed by the fifth episode, Powers of Darkness, which she described as thoroughly evil, but she had a lot to say about a lot of things in there. Louise Jameson has said that they were expecting to have a second series at the time, and that Mary Whitehouse and her complaints were the primary reason that that didn't happen. We can't know for sure, but that, it seems, certainly was a factor.
Interesting. I seem to remember when we watched The Omega Factor way back in 2008, I found episode 5 rather disappointing because I'd heard so much about it in advance, possibly. You know, it had been built up by Mary Whitehouse's criticisms.
Yeah, and it's a decent episode, but the things that were objectionable in it were relatively minor things. Something that looked like a pagan type ritual happening inside a church and that sort of thing. And it was something that was, you know, not a big complicated thing, just a little thing you see sitting in front of someone. So yeah, in any case, the objections were there, and for 35 years after those original 10 episodes, there was no Omega Factor. It drifted into a bit of obscurity and cult status. I think it may not have been repeated, at least not in the UK, and was not very available until the DVDs came out.
Yeah, I think that's right, sadly, but there you go. So 35 years, and of course, Big Finish enter the scene. And we know Big Finish, we've talked about them many times. Best known, of course, for their extremely popular and ongoing Doctor Who audio dramas. But they've also done audio plays based on a number of other genres. Television shows from all over, really. And interestingly, it was producer David Richardson who watched the original series of The Omega Factor on DVD and had the idea about, well, could we bring that back to Big Finish? Now, sadly, the original creator Jack Gerson passed away in 2012. So as you've said already, Brian, David had to contact his daughter, Natasha.
That's right. And she was immediately interested in doing something with this and wanted to recreate her role as Morag, which of course she did. And she went on to write an episode or two as well. We also had episodes written by Ken Bentley, who directs a lot of things for Big Finish, and Matt Fitton, Kevin Scott, Louise Jameson, who of course is in the cast, also Roy Gill and Phil Mulrine. I did note that John Dorney, who stars as Adam Dean in this, did not write any episodes, and he does a lot of writing for Big Finish. Most of his involvement with Big Finish is as a writer or as a script editor, although he certainly acted in quite a number of things for them as well, and he made the decision that he only wanted to act in this particular series, in The Omega Factor.
Oh, interesting.
There were three box sets that were directed by Ken Bentley and had music and sound design by Nick Briggs and Martin Montague.
And the first box set of 4 episodes was 2015, followed up by series 2 in 2017 and series 3 in 2018. And they didn't stop at just those series because they've also released 5 audiobooks based on The Omega Factor, including Jack Gerson's original novelization of his series. All of these are read by Louise Jameson. And I think, Brian, I'm right. You said that the original novel and another novel called Spider's Web were originally, or were they were released by Big Finish in hard copy, and they're now available as ebooks as well.
Yes, that's right. The ebooks are there as well. And that first one, the Jack Gerson novelization of the TV series, that actually came out from Big Finish before series one. So that was sort of our reintroduction to the series, or a sort of recap of the series before we launched into the new ones, which was kind of nice.
And of course, they came back after the three box sets to do their feature-length audio drama, The House That Wasn't Haunted, in 2023. Which I guess is, as you've described it, it's also like audio movie length. It runs to nearly 2 hours, and then there's about half an hour or more of extra features on there as well.
Yeah, that's about right. And it was designed to have the feel of a movie rather than something being divided into episodes, as a lot of Big Finish's work is.
Nice.
So we should talk about availability. All of these are available for sale at bigfinish.com. The full cast releases were originally released on CD and on digital download. At this point, Big Finish is typically releasing a fixed number of CDs and not reprinting them. So things often become, after a while, available as digital downloads only.
And that's the case for Series 1, now only available as download at £25. Series 2 and 3 you can still get on CD, which comes with the download as well for £30, or £25 again, download only. There's about an hour of behind the scenes features on each box set, each of the three box sets, I believe, Brian.
Yes, these were 5-disc releases where you had each episode on one disc for the first 4, and then a 5th disc of interviews.
And The House That Wasn't Haunted is also available on CD and download for £18, and £15 if you just want the download only. Plus, of course, as we've said, there's a variety of audiobooks on the Big Finish site. Jack Gerson's novel, CD and download at £25, and £20 for just the download. And the other 4 audiobooks all seem to be £10 each for downloads only now. Although I think, as you said, those ebooks are still on there as well for the first 2.
Yes, I think those are available. And in other countries, all of these are available, and they are converted to various currencies at the exchange rate. So I won't get into exact prices because they shift a bit as exchange rates change. The Big Finish app will allow you to download and play the audios that you've purchased on your account, but you use their website to buy them. You can't buy them through the app itself. You can also download those audios directly from the Big Finish site in a couple of formats, and those are DRM-free downloads, so you can play them with any audio software you choose.
Very good. So that's going to do us for the first part of our discussion. Let's come back next time and talk about some of the later audio adventures, particularly that movie-length special from 2023. And we may touch on how this compares to other continued series that Big Finish have done, because we've covered a few now. So we've got some stuff to talk about when we come back, Brian.
Absolutely. And of course, we'll do our reviews and recommendations and talk about whether you should get some of these or not. So until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. And you can also follow us on Threads and on Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, please give us a follow for updates and chat. And come and follow us at The Voice of Geeks at VogNetwork.com, The Voice of Geeks for streaming, gaming, and podcasts from The Voice of Geeks Network.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.